we talked about what he had done. Many of you are familiar with the product called Quest, I think it was. Did I get that name right? I think it is Quest. And protein bars. And I started eating him, but as I said, he stays with sugar, and I don't take sugar any longer. So anyway, Eileen just joined us, and Ruth just joined us, and Jennifer is on, and Amy's on, as I mentioned a moment ago. Adam is on, so I think we can pretty well begin today's meeting. There'll be a number of others joining us, I'm sure, but today, on Monday, we always have what we call our national leadership call. Now, most companies, their leaders speak privately. This is a private meeting. And we seldom do that, only on just small, detailed things we do. But basically, our leadership call is transparent. It's to teach everyone else the understanding of what leadership is really all about, and that's helping other people become successful. And in order to do that, we have to be consistently successful ourselves, not talk the talk, but be able to walk the walk. And that means you got to say what you do and do what you say. It's got to be in harmony. And that's why I was so impressed listening to Tom Bouliou. Hope you all had a chance to listen to him, because I'll be calling on some of you people to just share your thoughts on the audio. I won't embarrass you to ask you to say it. I'll ask you if you had a chance, if you had the time to listen to it, and if not, I'm going to suggest it is so powerful. It's all short. The first one's, six minutes, and the second one is three. And they're so terrific. So and the reason I like listening to this young man is he did it. I mean, this guy isn't just theory and philosophy. He was underappreciated of himself, undermotivated. In fact, he wasn't motivated at all, carrying way too much weight, eating the wrong foods, and life was just not good, and he started picking up books, biographies and autobiographies of people that had become successful, and he realized they were what he was at one time of their lives, and that he could change his life to do what they did to change their lives. And that was so inspiring to him that he started becoming involved in personal growth and success, and took up exercise. And if you see him, he's got, his body, he's very trim, he's really in great condition. So all that's very, very positive. And Sylvia, I found a book that I'm going to send to you, because you worked for Bob Proctor, and a lady just recently wrote a book about what happened to her life by visiting and meeting with Bob Proctor. I was so impressed with it, I did a perusal. A perusal is, I read the first paragraph of each chapter, and that gives me the idea of what she, he, they, them are talking about, and that's called perusing a book. Anyway, I'm going to first of all congratulate the leaders for the week. I'm so impressed. Curtis led with just short of $7,900 in business, and Curtis, we're proud of you. I'm hoping you're going to be on the call. And Jody came in a strong second with over 7,000 in business from the West Coast. And Jack came in strong with almost $4,300 in business. And Mr. Banfield, over 4,000 in business. And Betty, and I thought Betty was leaving on for a trip. Maybe I got confused, but I thought she said she was leaving on holidays. But she must have had it. Some time, because she went out and brought in almost just short of $4,800. Going on holidays, that's not bad. That's pretty good. And Chelsea, two sales. And Chelsea's a new member of our team. We're so proud of you. With over almost $3,600 in business. And Christian, over $3,000 with all his responsibilities. And Gonzo, over $3,000 this week. And Adam, almost $2,400. And Joel came through. And Dorota. Dorota did $2,500. She wrote 1,300 with John, and then with Ruth, she wrote another 1,100, so that's pretty good. So $2,500 in business, and Joe and Sylvia brought in, and Amy, and Lorraine. I'm proud of you. Lorraine is an icebreaker. I think that's what it says right here, so that's all good. And I'm sure there's a few others, but remember, I just get this. I'm here at 6 o'clock in the morning, but I have to wait till our senior guy comes in, and he does all the technical stuff. that's Dean Frost. He comes in at 6:30. He sleeps in. And so, I'm just kidding. Anyway, I just got this off the press. So what we're going to be talking about is pretty much a synopsis of those two audios that we had a chance to listen to, and then apply a lot of the additional knowledge that we have. So what I'm going to do, I don't see Curtis. Curtis, are you on this call? Are you there? Curtis? Are you there? Okay, Curtis isn't there. He said there's a message there, but we'll see if we can reach it. Jody, are you on the call this morning? Jody? Okay, we don't have Jody. Jody, Curtis brought in almost 8,000, and Jody was over 7,000. Curtis was 7,800. So we'll start. I know Jack there because I was talking to Jack, and he was telling me all about his football knowledge. Jack, are you still awake?
Yes, Jerry. I haven't fallen asleep yet.
Okay. That's Jackie. Just joking, Jack. Jack, you're terrific. I'm so proud of you. You have taken on a great deal of responsibility, and you do it with a lot of passion, with dedication, with a great work ethic. So, Jack, I'm going to share something with you, and I'd like your thoughts from the newsletter. It started out, it said, courage is action, equals your results, it equals your destiny. And that's a synopsis of Tom Billiard's two podcasts. It says this, Jack, and I liked your comments on it. As I said a moment ago, Tom began reading personal growth books, biographies and autobiographies about high achievers who had found the courage to overcome personal obstacles, mostly their own self-doubts and fears, to become the best version of themselves. Jack, why is reading books of personal growth and of people that have achieved excellence from biographies or autobiographies, why is that so important to people in their lives and in their careers? Why is that, and we talk about it all the time, why doing that? Why is that so important from your point of view, Jack?
Well, thanks for calling on me. I know that Curtis and Jody did excellent work this week, so normally they go before, but I am grateful for getting the chance to speak on this because I thought about this a lot. Like, as a culture in this company, we focus so much on personal development. But you look at so many people in the world, and they just don't have the opportunity to be exposed to the type of beliefs and understanding of personal development that we have here. So someone who's looking to change their life, they are a victim of their circumstance in the beginning. Their upbringing, their lack of awareness of the possibility to change limits them to the influence of their social group. And we talk so much on how we are a reflection of the authors that we read and the people that we associate with. So if you're looking to change your life and you have the potential to peer into the life and the actions of those who have been more successful, it starts to show you an avenue that you might not have noticed before. A way to live your life and approach situations that is counterintuitive to the way that you might have been brought up, because the people that surround you, while they may be wonderful people, may not have the successes in their life, the victories or the beliefs in their life that are going to benefit them or, in turn, benefit you. So reading authors and having that potential to have a perspective different than your own to a life that is more successful than your own starts to show the areas that you need to address first. The things you need to change to start redirecting yourself towards a true north path that is going to take you where you want to go. It's not about cutting everyone out of your life that you care about. And actually, a quote from Tony Robbins that I loved recently was, you know what, a lot of us say, you know what, our family is our closest people. Well, love your family, but choose your peer group. Understanding that is a process of reading books, focusing on personal development, listening to people and reading about people that have more of the things in their life that you want than you currently have. it's not to say they're any better or worse. They've just made choices in better use of their time for a longer extended period of time to help gather the things into their life that are going to bring them joy, sense of personal wealth, and sense of accomplishment. So reading is the first door to changing your circumstance if you don't have the people around you to influence you in the direction you want to go. It's that important. It is one of the cornerstones to your success, and never let it go. If you have, start 5-10 minutes a day. Just read at least a page. You'll notice that you start enjoying it. It'll start changing your brain waves and the way that you approach situations. Back to you, Jared.
Well said, Jack. You're spot on. You're absolutely spot on. The people we associate with and the authors that we read will change your life inalterably for the better, always for the better. And no matter what happens, because you gain so much insight of how to handle these vicissitudes that hurt and cause you emotional pain and financial pain, that's what life happens in life. It's how we choose to handle that makes a huge difference. And I was so impressed with these thoughts that Stanley shared with me, ladies and gentlemen, over 60 years ago. 6-0. I know I look like I'm 32, to me anyway, but you get the picture. And just reading, as Jack just said, if you're not a reader, a page, a paragraph, every day, 10, 15 minutes, then you'll start to fall in love with it. And Jack, you're so spot on. You got it right. You never put that down because there's so much to gain and so much to learn. In fact, if you went to university and got a master's, got a PhD, 95% of it is reading. The other is lectures. When you think about it, it's reading, reading, and reading. And speaking of reading, I'm going to have Christian. Christian, are you on the call, sir? Christian, are you here?
Can you hear me, Jerry?
I hear you fine, Christian. Christian is a senior partner. He's a very successful professional. You consistently bring in 3,000 plus every single week, like breathing. Christian, did you have the opportunity to listen to at least the first audio from Tom Buglio?
Unfortunately not, Jerry. No, I didn't.
Okay. Well, what he said, and you can just give me your thoughts, was simply this. What got us here today as human beings was, he didn't mention the chemical, but I will, cortisol. That's the chemical in the brain. That's the fear chemical, fight or flee. That's when he used the example of a lion in the bushes that would eat us. Years ago, it was saber-toothed tigers. And today, that works against us. That hurts us. So we'll have somebody talk about that. But what I'd like you to share your thoughts is a comment that he made, but it's so profound, and we're going to come back to that cortisol in a minute, unless you feel comfortable in talking about it. You're pretty good at understanding that because you have a background being an athlete and a pro athlete in that arena. Am I correct?
Yeah, I had my heyday in hockey, for sure.
Well, you did have a heyday. You had a heck of a heyday. Sounds like the beginning of a song. I got a heck of a heyday, country western song. Anyway, let's just stay with that, because I started with it. He talks about the fact that we control our fears. The fears are based on our ancestors to survive. We don't need those anymore. We need the endorphins, the dopamines, all the other chemicals that make us feel good. So why is it important that we control our fears and that we step above them? In fact, Aldo Wendell Holmes said, courage is never the absence of fear. It's your action in spite of those fears. And he said, Mark Twain said almost the same thing. Not to give in to your fears, it's rising above in the face of your fears. Both require action. Why is action so important from your point of view as a professional, as a leader, and as very successful in both? Why is that action to work to do? Go through your fears or above your fears. That keep most people from even getting started at whatever they're supposed to do. Your thoughts on those thoughts, Christian?
Well, most of what we're scared of never comes to pass. You know, most of what we're fearful of is in our imagination. And it's amazing how often we create these scenarios, these what-if situations that put us in a state of paralysis. And yet when we do finally make the choice to take action, what we were so scared of doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. We create all of these imaginary dark caves with all these monsters that are going to squash us. And when we take action, we illuminate those shadows. We cast light over what was dark. And in doing so, we realized that what was it that was the hardest part of it? It was when we weren't taking action. It was during the paralysis. It was during the time where we thought too much. We ruminated too long. That was the most painful experience of it all. Going and doing it made you feel good. Because, again, it wasn't as scary, but more than that, you could do it. Or maybe you couldn't, but you learned something. Maybe you fell a little short and you didn't die. And people didn't laugh at you, and you weren't you weren't ridiculed. You survived, and in doing so, you grew. You learned a little bit about yourself that you didn't know before, whether it was what you could do or what you couldn't do, and that helps you. It makes you understand yourself that much better. And so, you know, we have so many things that are pressing in on us that cause us to have that experience of stress, of cortisol. You know, the news, the environment, so many things are pushing in on us that create this sense of fear. And when we go and do things about it, we take control over what we have control over, we have a sense of calm. We have a sense of control. We have a sense of self-assuredness. And, you know, even just for example, like going and choosing to be healthy and working out, if you're feeling this sense of overwhelming fear or anxiety, going and being physically active creates other endorphins that make you feel at ease. Going and doing something that you were scared of doing creates more confidence, and it creates a sense of control over your life, and it illuminates the fact that what is there to fear but fear itself. So back to you, Jerry.
Well said. Actually, quite brilliantly said. And that is pretty much what I'm going to encourage all of you, please. It's all of, I think it's 5 minutes, 6 minutes. It's extraordinary. Listen to what this gentleman has to say. He built from nothing, from an overweight, under-motivated young man, to a company that he sold to a European company, part Europe, part North American, for $1 billion. That's a lot of money for anybody. And that's what he and Lisa's bride, his wife. And I'm telling you, everything he's applied, everything you listen to, you already know, but it's amazing reaffirmation. I'm encouraging you. And then when you really listen to it once or twice, both video audios, have your loved ones sit around and listen with you and talk about it. It's that important, my good friends. It really is that important. We're not talking about writing another piece of business. That's just what you do as a professional. It's how you grow, the level of excellence you become, the future leaders of this country, whatever your visions and dreams happen to be, or the leaders of helping other people be successful, whatever your dreams are. I'm going to have our senior partner, John O'Keefe. John, can you hear me?
I hear you, Jerry.
John, you're in BC now. And we've been together 3 decades plus. You've generated multi-millions in helping and generating revenues over 3 P&Ls that you've had. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I'm pretty accurate in that comment. You've generated millions and millions of dollars. You've been very successful. I'm going to read something to you, John, and I'd like your opinion on it from the newsletter. It says this: we all use almost the same amount of time and emotions in not doing what we need to do as we do in doing what we need to do. Let me repeat that, John. It was in the newsletter, and I know you were flying out. I don't know if you had a chance to read it. We all use the same amount of time and emotions in not doing what we need to do as we use or as we do in doing what we need to do. However, John, it says this: both short and long-term results of not doing what we need to do become life versus doing it, all both become lifelong and life-altering. Now, John, just to let you think about that for a moment, this information came from University of London College. I always get college and university and college mixed up, forgive me. From that 9-year study that we've gone over a number of times over the last few years, we've talked about it, we wrote about it in the newsletters. They did a 9-year study of why certain people set goals, and then at the end, and they had them always every year checking in on their goals, and almost everybody that said they were going to participate did, and this was hundreds and hundreds of students. And amazing. Those that set goals and kept records and stayed with it did exactly what they said they were going to do. And those that set goals but didn't stick with it, John, I don't have to tell you what happened. They didn't. So, John, briefly tell us what your thoughts are by, since it takes the same amount of time to do or not to do, what's your thoughts on what we're talking about right now? This is the essence of the entire newsletter. John.
Well, I think you put your finger on it right there. Great goals create great people. And it's not great people create great goals. It's the goals that people take the time to write down, take the time to create your short-term, intermediate, long-term goals. And when we create goals, it gives us direction. It's like a puts the rudder on our ship. It gives us direction of where we're going and what we're going to do to get there. And that's part of setting goals. But when you said we all use the same amount of time not doing what we need to do, and I think that kind of goes like the Brian Tracy 80-20 rule. People spend 80% of the time doing basically nothing, and the 20% of their time is what's most valuable. And most people spend more than 80% of the time, and they feel sorry for themselves, but they never step out of that comfort zone of doing what's necessary to be successful. And it goes back to this whole thing of what we were talking about. The choice to take action, the courage to take action, because I think this is your neighbor, your football neighbor, I can't remember his name, but he always said...
Bartolo, he owns the 49ers.
That's right. Inactivity creates fear, and fear makes cowards of us all. And when we take the time to create goals, when we take the time to write them down, when we take the time to take action to achieve our goals, then that activity creates our confidence, and that confidence builds. And then as we build our confidence, then the 20% of the things that we do start to count, to build, you know, we start having success. And as you build on that success, you help other people be successful. Because as Zig Ziglar says, to be successful, you must help other people be successful. And that comes back into our leadership. You know, leaders, to be successful, you have to help other people be successful. They have to, and we always called it living in a glass house. When you live in a glass house, people can see what you're doing, and then you can, and they... Because of what you're doing, it validates it. People develop confidence in you, and then they can, when you lead from the front, you can teach them to have confidence in themselves. So again, it comes down to great goals create great people. Back to you, Jerry.
Thank you so much, John. You know, you all these years, 3 decades, you validated. You were in the field this week, and then you got on a plane and flew out west. And you just do what needs to be done when it needs to be done, and you never let fear stop you. Whether it was fear, health issues, or whatever it was, personal issues, you handle fear brilliantly well. And that's why you've been so incredibly successful, because you just don't quit on what it is you're trying to accomplish. And I've known you now 3 decades, in your personal life, in your professional life, in your health life. And that's the magic. That's the key, folks. Simple but not easy, because it requires reaching down inside. Well said and well appreciated. I'm going to have Adam, senior partner. Adam, thank you for your business this week, almost 2,400. Adam, are you there? Mr. Brink, where art thou? Adam, there you are. There you are. There you are. You always have a spotlight. It's always behind you, not in front of you. The spotlight goes in front of you so we can...
I'm doing that wrong, aren't I?
That's right, Mr. Adam, I'm going to read some material. And I know you'll keep it succinct and tight because you have an incredible talent of just, I mean, if I said 6 hours, you'd do it with a couple of drinks of water. Anyway, because you're that good, because you think, Adam. You think about what makes things work, and you make it work because you know what it takes. I'm going to read this. It's a continuation of what I just read with John. It says, all these things we talked about, that not doing or doing, it's all a decision, but doing it and becomes a lifelong altering way of living your life. This is all because the internal struggles most people have of not doing what we know we need to do takes a huge emotional toll on our energy, strength, confidence, and joy. I'll repeat that again. This again from the same study from the London University College. Not doing it, just not doing what we know we need to do, is an internal struggle, and it takes a great deal of emotional toll on our energy, strength, and confidence. Studies show, same study, the longer we put off doing what we need to do, the more difficult the task becomes until we no longer have the energy, strength, confidence, or willingness to do it. Your reaction on those words from that university study. Adam, senior partner, the guy with the beautiful light in the back of him instead of shooting at his beautiful face. Adam.
Yeah, Jerry, you know, the first thought that comes to my mind is that's, like, it's a profound thing that we all experience that, you know, it's interesting to have it validated by science. And that's one of the, you know, the awesome things about Tom Bayou and all of his, you know, I'm familiar with Tom. He's had his YouTube channel for quite some time, and he's a young, enthusiastic entrepreneur that's realized the highest levels of success. And it's giving them access to people and ideas and all these things that are at that, you know, that rare air level of success. But, you know, we have, and I've said this before, we have only so much energy. We've got our physical, we've got our mental, we've got our emotional energy, and then we have a little, tiny little vial of willpower. And that willpower needs to be deployed very specifically. And when we are faced with something that we don't really want to do, there is an exertion of energy that we are using. We are depleting our resources on the hemming and hawing about it and not doing anything for it, not doing anything towards progress. So just because you're not taking action towards that doesn't mean you're saving up energy in that domain, okay? If you have something that you know you need to do, it's going to sit there and accumulate anxiety, procrastination, eventually depression, and all of those things exist only in the space between knowing what we need to do to get what we want and then actually taking action towards that. So in many ways, taking action, we're all familiar with taking action being some kind of relief, okay, some release of energy. You feel good once you go to the gym, okay? You feel good once you have something that you've been procrastinating doing, and then you take efforts and energies to do it. There is a release of positive endorphins. The pain, well, the pain isn't ever what we thought it was going to be, is it? You know, we have chemicals in our body that help us in that domain where they remove. Like, eventually, after you are at the gym working that muscle, your endorphins kick in, and they literally kill the pain.
Let me ask you a question, because I like where you're going with this. At the end of the day, you've made 5 presentations. Whether you wrote 5, wrote 1, didn't write any, how do you feel after getting in 5 at the end of the day?
You feel released, professional. You feel like you've done your job. There's a sense of completion. There's all of these things that we desire, that we need to get in order to feel sustained and to feel validated in our efforts. And most all of those come from the effort, not necessarily the result. The results are a byproduct of the belief that you can perform that effort. When you know you can do what you said you were going to do, you're empowered by a whole different fuel tank. And that's really just the truth. You become better by exercising your muscles.
Okay, so then one last question, then I want to go on to Joel Bunch. It says this. In Napoleon Hill's great book, Think and Grow Rich, we all read it. If you haven't read it, you really need to read it. Please. It's an absolute must-read. Dated but profound. He said, whatever your mind can conceive,
and you believe you can achieve. Do you agree with that statement, yes or no?
100%, yes, 100%.
Okay, I'm going to ask Joel Bunch, another senior partner. You guys are so successful in business, successful in your personal life, successful in business, successful with your health. You're all doing what you need to do. This is not just one-stop shop or one-shop stop. I never could figure out which one is the correct English. It says this. Joel, can you hear me, my friend?
Yes, sir.
Joel, you're a senior partner. It's been 14 years now. You've done brilliantly well. I'm going to read something. It's a continuation, then go forward, if I may. It says this. If we don't do what we need to do and keep putting it off, we become emotionally paralyzed. And sadly, millions stay that way for the rest of their lives. They're emotionally paralyzed. They can only talk the talk. They can't or won't walk the walk. It says this. We all know people who always have excuses why they can't do what they need to do because they continue letting their fears run their lives. And one last comment on that, and then, Joel, I'd like your comments. It says this. To be our best selves is one of the greatest of our feelings about ourselves. We feel good about being in the moment. Each day is a great day, all day, every day. Joel Bunch, do you agree with this thinking? This is from the university studies and many other scientific studies, and Frankel talked about that many years ago. Your thoughts on those thoughts, senior partner, very successful young man, Joel Bunch.
Absolutely. It's so easy to get caught up in excuse-itis. There's always a reason why I can't do things. But it also often starts with procrastination. Procrastination is the art of doing something later that you should have done today. And when you put things off, you put things off, you create little reasons or validation or excuses in your mind. And you create little habits. And little habits start to become big habits, and they start to grow. And eventually you get to the part where it's so easy to justify why you don't need to do something now that you never, ever do it. Tomorrow never, ever shows up. Tomorrow never comes. You never get there. You never get around to it. And you become someone who lives in the, well, I should have, I could have, I would have, but I should have, I could have, I would have, except for. And it's just the concept and the mentality of you have to self-discipline, or you have to teach self-discipline to your mind to fix those habits. You have to teach self-discipline and practice self-discipline consistently and do the things that you don't want to do, even though very often they're things that you know you need to do. It's not like people have to come in and say, this is important. They're usually things you know are important or you know that you should be doing. But you've created so many excuses that you have to literally train your brain to do something that your brain knows you need to do. It takes practice, it takes work ethic, and another one, big part is, or two parts is you need to surround yourself with people that will motivate you, will help you, and you need to get reading authors that will help grow you, because if you just keep doing the same thing you're going to do, it's the definition of insanity expecting different results. Back to you, Jerry.
Well said. Yeah, I like that last sentence. We continue to do what we've always done, we'll get what we've always gotten, and if you expect different results, you're right. That's what the definition for insanity is. Nothing's going to change. Our role is to be the best that we can be in living our lives to the absolute maximum of loving, caring, doing the right thing, health-wise. That's our role. It's not just to be an eater of dinners and a watcher of television. Or the Romans used to say, living for bread and circuses. There's a lot more than food and entertainment or beer and pretzels. So the whole idea is our role is to lead ourselves so we can lead other people so that the people we lead, including those we love, is an exemplary life so that they have a role model, someone to emulate. And maybe we weren't fortunate to have one, but we have them now. It's ourselves. Our organization for 50 years now has focused in on trying to help people become their best selves. And I'm going to have Sylvia, our senior partner, our first woman senior partner, and we will have many more as the days, weeks, and months unfold. She earned it. She worked very, very hard at it. She was a top producer consistently. The quality of her business was excellent. So, Sylvia, it's a continuation on this discussion. It says, and I'll just back it up a bit, that we can, and we, yes, we will be proud of ourselves and feel happy, healthy, and successful if we do what we know we need to do when it needs to be done. Yes, we can, and we'll have bad moments. But we immediately find a solution and get on with living the day in harmony, peace, joy, and fun, regardless of the outcome. We know we will always end up achieving our goals. Let me repeat that, Sylvia. We know we will always end up achieving our goals. We are certain because we refuse to quit until we have accomplished our effort goal. We believe this because this has been proven for centuries. Your reaction to those thoughts, Sylvia, senior partner of our company.
Well, as it says, a winner never quits, and a quitter never wins, as the next line there, Jerry. But the important thing, and you know, we started talking about why we should read books. When you read books or you listen to podcasts and you listen to people that have had success, especially people that have had the kind of success you're looking for, you understand that they all made it, but to get there, they went through some challenges. They had to dig deep. They had to, you know, some of my first books back in the 1980s with W. Clement Stone, The Success System That Never Fails, Success or Positive Mental Attitude. When you pick a goal, unless you're not truly excited about achieving it, then I don't know why you'd pick it. But let me back up a little bit here. So some people, you know, one of the exciting goals that many of us have every 13 weeks is making sure that we submit over $30,000 in a quarter in that 13 weeks so that we can double our residual income. Now, when you first start, you may not get excited about the idea of writing $30,000 in premium. And the reason for that, if you don't get excited, is because you're not thinking about what, A, that income today will do for you, and more importantly, B, what that future income will do for you and your loved ones in building that residual income. You could, you know, end up with $50,000 or $100,000 or $150,000 in residual income after 10 years. What is it that excites you? Does the $50,000 excite you? Probably not as much as the $150,000 in residual income. And so you get caught up in living in that future moment today, the excitement of having $10,000, $15,000 a month coming into your bank account every month before you get out of bed and do anything during the day. And what does that life look like? So the more you live with it, the more you can believe it, and therefore the more you can achieve it. But when you pick that goal, you got to understand you can achieve it, and you will, as long as you don't quit. So it might take you longer than, you know, the first time getting $30,000 and a quarter is tough. Second time it gets a little bit easier. But when you stick with it, the only reason that anybody becomes great at anything is because they made the choice and the decision, as this man spoke on the audio, that it's a choice every day as to what you're going to do. And if you don't choose to be your best, to do your best, then you're not focused on an exciting, motivating goal. You're just looking for a regular life. And there's no excitement and fun in that. Yeah, you can have some giggles through the day, but the true fun and excitement comes out of moving beyond your comfort zone and achieving something that you at first thought, geez, I don't know if I could do this. Back to you, Jerry.
Well said. Well said. That's why you earned the right, being a student of Bob Proctor, which I said I'm going to send you a book that a lady just wrote about her experience being a student. She wasn't working with him or for him, just being a student of Bob Proctor. So you find the right people to associate with and you grow your life. If not, it's the same old, same old, same old. You live but you're not really here and gone tomorrow. You're right. To use the example of falling asleep, boring. It's to be the best you can be. That's your purpose here, to be the best human being you can be. And one of the best ways is giving back. I'm going to have Ruth. Ruth, you're such a giving human being. You care deeply about people. Can you hear me, Ruth, first of all?
I can hear you.
Okay. I'm going to read some thoughts, and I just like your thoughts. We're going to keep it a little tight because I've been a little bit verbose this morning and talked a little too long, and I apologize. But it says this, and Sylvia said it. It's in the newsletter, and John alluded to it. Always John alludes to it. A winner never quits, and a quitter never wins. A winner never quits, and a quitter never wins in life, let alone anything else in life. It says this action is all your decision as to getting started and keeping at your task each day until you've accomplished your daily mission. This action, which is momentum, takes courage, focus, determination, and your absolutely unrelenting effort to keep at it until your day is only done when you finish your goal for your day. Why is that so important to have a goal for the day? For example, I'll use 5 presentations and finish that regardless, snow, rain, sleet, snow, or how you're feeling about yourself. Your thoughts on that? The multi-talented and exceptionally marvelous human being, Ruth.
Thank you for those kind words. Can you hear me okay? So there's a saying, and the saying is, sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees. So if you haven't got your eye on the big picture, you can't see the forest for the trees. But as soon as you're able to see the big picture, it's like you have risen above it, and you can see that big picture. And when you're faced with the decision every minute of every day to take action to do something towards your goals or not, you can use that as your guide. And so it's so important to know why. You know, Simon Sinek, it's important to know why you want to do this, whoever you are and whatever it is that you want to do. Some people want to be a career agent. Some people want to develop their business and grow and help people. And not that growing and helping people doesn't also happen when you're a career agent focusing on that. Both are okay. It doesn't matter. If you want to do this and just figure out how to do this standing on your head, well, there's a goal, and you can work towards it. But Tony Robbins, I always keep coming back to him lately, and I don't know why, but he's got this rocking chair test. And you're talking about it in this newsletter as well. In this rocking chair test, you're in today, you're in the moment, but you go forward into the future and you ask yourself, what am I going to feel like if I accomplish that goal, whatever it is that you've got on that piece of paper? Is that important to me? And you ask those questions and you go forward in your life and you see if you take action and you achieve that goal, how you're going to feel. Conversely, you can go forward 20 years not having taken action toward that goal and not having done anything towards its realization, and it did not come to fruition. And how are you going to feel about that? And the answer to that, according to Tony, is if that's okay with you, then it's not an important goal and don't worry about it. Just go and find something else that is important. Because if you look forward and you say, do I need to do this or not? That's basically what you're saying in the moment today. And if you don't do it, what's going to happen? And if you do it, what's going to happen? And if you're okay with the answer, then you don't need to do anything. And if you're not okay with the answer, then you need to go ahead and do what you said that you want to do. And so it's as simple as that. And our goals change as we go along in time. The important thing is to start with a goal. It doesn't matter what the goal is. Might be to get your first sale, or it might be to get 30,000 in a month. That's a regular habit-forming goal that you can easily have when you start working with this company. 30,000 in volume in a 13-week period. How much is that? Well, that's $2,500. Well, you do $3,000 in a week, every week, you got it. You got it. It's just as simple as that. And so you keep your mind on the big picture, and you rise above it, and then you take action if it's something that's important to there. And if it isn't, you just carry on. So spend your time in a day and work so you get towards the end of the day and you haven't accomplished what you want, and there's still only 2 hours left, and you could easily be discouraged. But if you look at the big picture, you don't get discouraged because you know you just got to keep on going because things are going to change. That tide will change. Those numbers are just as real as anything. Those numbers are true, and whatever those numbers are. So it's all a numbers game. And if you have just talked to 20 people that have said no, there's going to be one around the corner that says yes. If you're trying to recruit somebody and you've asked 10 people that said no, then one of them is going to say yes very soon. So, you know, it's that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ruth. Thank you for not who you just are, and which is amazing, but all you do to help other people as you lead by example and strive to be your best self. That's wonderful. And I have the unique, wonderful opportunity of observing all you beautiful people doing wonderful things for yourself, your children, your families, those you love. It's just an amazing experience for me. I couldn't be any better, and I've been doing this now longer than most of you've been around. Although I know I look extraordinarily young, but I have the tech people make me look younger on the video. But all the thing is the mindset. And when you make up your mind, you're in control. It's just marvelous. I'm going to have a senior partner. We've worked together now over 30 years, Fred Flaxman. Fred, can you hear me?
I sure can, Jerry.
All right, I'm going to read something to you, and I'd like to keep it tight because I have so many to call in, and I know we're short on time. And Chelsea, I'm going to call on you, so I want you to just kind of get your thoughts in order about why you're becoming so successful. But I want to have Fred to share a thought. It says this, Fred. Robin Sharma writes that doing what we need to do and getting it done when it needs to be done is difficult at the beginning, it's messy in the middle, and absolutely beautiful at the end. Goes on to say, Fred, that this is because you have 66 days. During that 66 days, if you're consistent, you're forming something through neoplasticity. We all heard that word when we first heard it. It sounded like a bad orange. Neoplasticity. It's a habit. It's a mindset. It's a new brainwave that for and every human being that gets it, of doing what you need to do by keeping at it until you've accomplished your daily goal. Credit says, since 71, everyone who consistently made 20 presentations a week by making 5 daily was as successful across Canada and the United Kingdom, which we started in 1986. You've been around since the 86 and not too far after 1971. Your reaction to the habit forming of living a life of excellence. Fred Flaxman.
Well, I listened to both of the audio portions, and I loved the second one the best. I thought that what Tom says is something that echoes something I believe in very strongly. You know, and I put a lot of thought into it. There's no saber-tooth tigers anymore, but there's other people's opinions. And so many people today give in to other people's opinions. So, which can be just as dangerous as, I guess, a saber-tooth tiger, because most people try to tell you what you can't do instead of what you can do. So you've got to harden your heart and mind to the dream killers out there today and associate with a group of people that will support your dreams and your hopes and your aspirations for the future. And one thing I love about these calls in the morning is we talk about becoming that best version of ourselves. I've always been a reader of autobiographies and biographies. You know, all of these people, all of these great people, Churchill, Mandela, Gandhi, Tubman, Martin Luther King, who's a great leader to me, they all had missions that were greater than themselves. And one thing that Tom said in his second autobiography is, what do your goals demand? What do your goals demand? You know, and you know, if your goals are greater than yourself, you will create the habits that will help you achieve those goals. It's natural evolution. And then Tom also says, you can take control of the evolution of your life. Well, the evolution of your life is developing those very habits that are going to allow you to become the person you always wanted to be, which will in turn help you achieve those great goals. We have a great mission here to help the underserviced blue and gray collar self-employed in the event they get hurt or sick and can't go to work. What could be a greater mission than that? These people, if they get hurt or sick and they're not going to work, they don't have any safety nets. We are the ones that will provide those safety nets. We're the only ones that are going to stand shoulder to shoulder with these individuals and pay them the guaranteed monies every single day they can't go to work. The government's not going to help them. The family might bring food, a little food over here or there, but we're the only ones that will stand shoulder to shoulder with them. We have a great, great mission out there today. So why listen to other people's opinions? I mean, they really don't matter when you really break it down. I heard a great, great quote on opinions a little while ago. I forget who it came from, but it says that what are facts but opinions expressed as truths? Opinions are not expertise. They're just other people's opinions. So why listen to other people? If you believe in your mission, you'll go far beyond anything else. I could go on. I love this topic. I'll go on forever if you let me, but I'll pass it back to you now.
I'm glad you stopped, because you made some very salient points. You know, you've been so successful for all the years we've been together, and you've done so well. And it's just an honor that we've been 30-plus years, three decades, and watch you grow and your children grow, and one son's an exceptional doctor, and the other is an outstanding athlete, a coach. And you should be proud, and you take care of your health, and your dad takes care of your health. Your dad's one of my heroes, for heaven's sakes. My God, he's 92 years old, and he just played tennis every day. I think he just stopped playing tennis and works out, and he's just absolutely somebody I want to be like when I grow up. Well said. Chelsea, we're so proud of you. In such a short period of time, you're setting a name for yourself across the country of Canada within the Landmark business family. We're proud of you. We're proud of your work ethic. Chelsea, can you hear me?
Yes, hello.
Make sure you can hear me. Chelsea, I'm going to read something just like your opinion, okay? It says this: consistently successful men and women set effort goals. Because it takes a while to learn all the skills, but with 20 presentations weekly as the goal of 5 daily, everybody begins to produce business, and over time, everyone's closing rate gets better and better and better because of the experience. In fact, I used a little humorous thing about practice, 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 and it was a story, you probably heard it before, where a young couple, a couple of girls, I guess, were in downtown from I think it was Saskatoon, were downtown Toronto, and they asked somebody standing in the street corner, they kind of lost a little bit, how do we get to the Toronto Symphony? And the answer was, practice, practice, and practice. In other words, he misunderstood the question. Your thoughts on this concept of working and getting in the presentations and keeping getting better and better all the time? And again, thank you. I think this is probably your record week with almost $3,600 in business. Wow, terrific job. Your thoughts, Chelsea, as a new member of our team?
All right. Thank you for bringing up my good week. So when I have this system that I can just follow, and a product so great that if you just follow the system, you're going to write business. So the more that you go out there and do your presentations and do different emotional stories, and the more rejection you get, the better you get at dealing with it. And if you just keep doing it, then you are going to be successful. And then the secret in and amongst all of that is gratitude. You have to be successful, you need to be grateful for what you have in here and now, and this is the fuel that is going to help you propel you through this and help with that stick-to-itiveness. Because if you if you are the grandmaster and you
are not born with that in your genes. That is just from doing it every day, and you're doing the actions that are going to get you there. So if you are doing your 5 presentations a day, then you are going to get there. So, okay, I'll pass back to you.
I love the way you said that. It's pragmatic, which means it's practical. It's succinct, which means it's succinct, on point. You're spot on. You really have it. You understand that it's effort, attitude, and always results. Sometimes the results don't come at the beginning. Sometimes they come at the end. It's just the way it works out. Well said, and I'm very, very impressed with the way you said that. Before I forget, I want to announce Lorraine, who's broke the ice this week, is a new member of our team. I think it's just very, very exciting. And I want to continue with Dorota. Dorota, can you hear me? Are you on the call? Dorota? Oh, there you are. There. First of all, congratulations on an excellent week of over 2,500. Dorota, I'm going to read something to you, and I'd just like your thoughts about this and just your opinion, so there's not a right or wrong answer. It says this, and again, congratulations. We each choose our actions, which is really our courage in motion. We each have full control of our courage as to when we're going to begin our daily effort and how long we are committed to continue to strive to accomplish our daily goals. Let me read that again, because that's the mark of excellence. Having the willing to give the daily effort and the commitment to continue to strive to accomplish our daily goals. So then we listen to the other podcast of Tom Bilyeu. The whole idea is, how important is it to you to have a daily effort goal to accomplish your presentations, whether it's 4 a day or 5 a day? Your thoughts, and again, congratulations, Dorota.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I had a hard time. I was struggling to go to work and to do what I had to do at the beginning. And then I was talking to the leaders at the company, and there was something that John mentioned that he was telling me since the day one, and Ruth and Sylvia. But I didn't get it. And then one day I did. I had an aha moment, and I said to John, I said, you know, I feel like I'm not making any money every time I go to work, and I'm stressed out because I didn't make a sale. And he said to me, but you know what? You do make money every single day, and you're helping people. And so I changed my thinking. And so right now, all I want to do is make sure that every day I'm committed to doing my best. That is what I'm committed to. And also, I'm not thinking about making sales. I'm thinking about seeing as many people as I can. And to me, action and consistency in doing that creates results. So to me, is to get up, go to work, and look for people and get my sticks. Because when I get my sticks, I get my presentation. And then when I get my presentation, I get an awesome app. So to me, the most important is to get up and get going and get my sticks, and I'll get back to you.
Well said. Spot on. By golly, you really know what you're talking about. You're right. The attitude is put just forth the effort and inform people. You will always get your share of the business. It's been that way since we've been in business in Canada since 1971. And the U.S. and the U.K. It's beautiful. It works splendidly well. I'm going to have Amy share her thoughts. Amy, can you hear me?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. We're going to take a minute because we're out of time, but I really wanted to hear your thoughts. It says this: we all make a positive difference by being the best version of ourselves all the time, by being of service to others, pretty much what Dorota just said. This is not always easy. But if it's that important to you, then you will do the right things almost all the time so that you can become and stay at your best self more often than not. This may be the theme of Robin Sharma's new book, which is coming out, because he shared in his email the title last time he sent us an email, which was last week. So I'm looking forward to it. But being your best self all the time through effort, how important is that to you, Amy?
Thank you for calling upon me, and I will keep it short. I've been writing down what you've asked of me, and then what is standing out to me is a word that wasn't said, but it's accountability. And in this chosen profession, when we are licensed and we, our job is to go out and to help people and be of service and to be accountable. And I wake up with gratitude and thankfulness for the clients that I do serve. And when I have deliveries, that is my utmost priority. And those are clients that I'm serving and I'm being accountable. And if someone's calling me back, I'm being accountable. And if I have prospects that said, I really do try for a yes and I do try for a no, but we always get, can you please follow up with me? Well, for those, I am accountable and I do follow up. But I'm accountable to number one, and that is my own day, driving my own ship, if you will. I'm accountable to my own goals. And when I work with accountability to what I have put forth for my own goals and my own determination, then that brings about success. And I love seeing Lewis on the call right now, actually. He's driving and he's out and he's probably driving his beautiful girls to school. And I'll throw it back to you.
Thank you. There's so many more I would like to have share your thoughts, including Eileen and a number of others, but we're just completely out of time, and I certainly know your time is invaluable and I respect it. But I just want to share with all of you that our thoughts today are not to motivate or to make anybody be more inspired. It's to help you realize how incredibly capable you are of doing amazing, amazing things with your life. Not just your business life, but your personal life, your health life, your family life. All of these things are so incredibly valuable because time goes by very, very quickly. And the legacy you want to leave is not just financial, although you certainly have the rights to do it because of our business and big financial legacy, especially if you move into leadership. Big. It's most just as important to be that matriarch or the patriarch, the one they talked about, the one, the mama or the papa or the grandma or the grandpa, who really made a difference and really set a standard of excellence for your family for many, many generations to come. So it's been an honor, and I enjoy every minute of it. My 62 years have gone by so incredibly fast. It just seems like 2 weeks ago I sat down with Stanley Beyer, and he told me about what we were doing for the self-employed people. And it's been 62 years later, and I've not lost my passion, my vision, my dream, my hope to help other people because I've accomplished almost every one of my goals. And I have a few left, and it's all about helping other people accomplish theirs. That's my number one priority. Love to your families. Have a beautiful day. Just put all the energy into getting in your 5 or 4, whatever you choose to get in today. And, you know, if you have a question or something comes up, we're always here for you. Being great, being your best self is not easy, but it's a lot easier than not being. It's a lot easier than not being. Love your family. Take care, everybody, and thank you for your time. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.